The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday. Tuesday, March 11th. And a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And you can hear me now. I can't hear myself inside my earpieces yet, but yes, there I go. Yes, it is Tuesday, and it's a little after 11 o'clock. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Well, we have Anku Sara, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III here as usual as our Tuesday guest, but I will yield. I hope he doesn't mind because I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about, is there a difference between Yeshua and Jesus, right? But before I do that, that's our theme for today. But before I do that, I want to yield to Erin because on the last show, she went in some detail and I said, Erin, I am a part of this family and I need some information to go out. And also, I like family trees. And if you was talking family tree and I am here, I have no other choice but to listen and find out what you mean by family trees in general. So go ahead, Erin. What you talking about?
I'm talking about you. I got a question for you.
Okay, I just want to talk about Uncle, but talk about me then. Go ahead.
Family trees, right? You create family trees.
Yes, I do family trees, yes.
How do you start a family tree?
Okay, simple. You start with yourself. You start with yourself, then you go with mother and father, then Grammy, and then you start reaching out to uncles and aunts, and then you start reaching out to extended families, oral family in general.
Thank you. I mean, I didn't know that specifically.
Yeah.
And that makes the whole process seem much easier.
Yes. And then sometimes you get whatever you find, you give it to your uncle or aunt, your extended family, say, okay, can you add to this from your family line, especially when you have third cousins, fourth cousins, because their family line could be different. And then you're trying to build a specific family line or general family tree in general. So that's how you do it. And from there, right, after you get stuck and you get enough information from the various branches, the third cousins, fourth cousins, you could go on online sites like FamilySearch.org, which is sponsored by the Mormons, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They have a site, the FamilySearch.org, and that can give you some information. They have a lot of Bohemian records saved there, official records that they scanned in. Or you can also go on Ancestry.com. As we know, a number of Bohemians had migrated to the United States. United States have great records. We tend to upload a lot of things to Ancestry.com, and you can search there.
Absolutely. What about the local archives? Are they helpful?
I started off with the local archives. I started off with even the lots and lands at land survey there. Mm-hmm. I find that the local archives have the microfiche, right, that you can search. But with the Latter-day Saints, you'll see them wearing their white shirts and riding their bicycles. They tend to take the research from the archives and put it online.
Okay.
So if you don't want to go and to the archives and say do all that tedious work at searching, you could go online with from the same information at the archives and find it online from at FamilySearch.org.
Right. Now, family trees are like constitutions. They're not concrete, right?
Nothing is concrete.
They change.
And they do change.
Absolutely. And so for people who pick up a family tree and don't see their name in it, don't feel slighted. What you need to do is document your name and your family's name and give it to the person who is managing the family tree.
Yes. Like you said, family trees does change. And if you know family island history or family island politics, let's say local politics, sometimes your daddy is your daddy and your daddy don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes your Grammy adopted you and you didn't know that your Grammy had adopted you. Sometimes you were loaned to people, older people. Say, well, Miss Sarah's going to take care of you and she lives on Mayaguana because I can't take care of you anymore. And then later on in your history, you found that, oh, Miss Sarah wasn't my auntie or she wasn't my mummy. He said, oh, yes, your mummy was impoverished and she gave you away. But your actual family are Farquharsons and you're actually not a being.
Yeah.
Right. So that's part of our island history, too, that we need to take into consideration, especially when we're doing family tree.
Absolutely. But like Anku has said multiple times, there's power in the blood. And it's important to know your lineage in the family tree helps to do that. Now, at the HHT family reunion, family trees will be available. Mr. Newry has graciously assisted us and our family historian in updating the family tree. But we acknowledge that we know that we don't have all of the family members listed on the tree, right? We start off with that, acknowledging that we know we don't have everybody on the tree, which is why we're asking people to contact the Family Association at 424-7228 or 455-7242 or hhtreunion1782@gmail.com with your name and family information so that we can ensure that it is added to the family tree.
I'd like to mention that there's a number of family trees out there, right? Mm-hmm. A number of historians, especially for this particular family, Hannah Hasty Tynes, have their own variations of the family trees. And all the family trees matters when you compare and contrast. There's a Hannah family tree just for Hannah's. There's a Hasty family tree just for Hasty's. There's a Tynes family tree just for Tynes. I have a Farquharson family tree, which has a combination between Farquharson's and Ferguson's. And we know that there's a different type of Farquharson in San Salvador, but there's an Ackland Farquharson. I have a Cawley family tree that is just for Cawleys. And you know there are different Cawleys because there's a San Salvador Cawley and there is an Ackland's Crooked Island Cawleys. I have a Francis family tree. I have, let's see, I'm trying to think of different names, right? A number of family trees, someone called Johnson's, Johnson family tree, which is split off from the Cawley family tree. I just recently got a Delaville family tree, you know, so there are a number of family trees out there. And the Benneby's family trees. So there's a number of family trees out there. And you see all the names I've called just so far also interject into the Hannah Hasty Tynes.
Right.
These are extensions of various Hannah Hasty Tynes families that are, that we have separate family trees for as they marry into, or Hannah Hasty Tynes persons marry into them, those families too, and their name change subsequently.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this knowing your lineage is important so that you can support your family business, support them at the community level, support the children at school when they get awards, when they're going to BAISS or GSSS. SSSA, Government High School Athletics Competitions, but...
Government High.
No, I said Government High Schools. My bad. Don't worry, I always remember to say the Government High to point it out. And so many of our family members went to the Government High School, but knowing your lineage and having family trees is important. So you... Don't marry your cousin.
Yes, and I see...
Unintentionally.
I see we have a text.
You could do it intentionally, yes, sir.
Oh, I don't mind marrying a cousin.
I mean, you didn't mind, but now you have to mind that, sir. It's too late to marry your cousin.
It depends on how the cousin looks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's lucky.
That's what the Hannah Hasty Tynes theme is for. What you're trying to change?
That's true now.
You need to change that. Now you all want to change it when it's my go.
But, listen, Mr. Newry.
Thank God you're married already.
Yes.
You will not have
that. She's my cousin too. Don't worry about that.
You're so gracious in lending us your time. So I found... a chapter in the book Race and Class in the Colonial Bahamas, 1880 to 1960, written by Gail Saunders. Mm. It's a chapter 2, Bahamian Society in the Late 19th and Early 20th Centuries, Class, Race, and Ethnicity. I was trying to grab my mother's copy of that book, but she have it hide somewhere. Here's just a brief excerpt. Quote, it has been said that the Tynes, Hannah, and Hasty families, light-skinned, mixed-race people at Pompey Bay, Acklands, intermarried for, and dot, 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 because it's an academic article, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't find a book to read the rest of the sentence.
I may have that book home. Remind me
to
look in my library to see if I have it home.
Okay. Yeah. But so it's important to know your lineage as science and technology advances, right? As we are able to identify potential gene defects. In particular, we think about sickle cell, right? And families who want to avoid producing kids that may suffer through, you know, in extreme cases of sickle cell. It is important to know your family so you don't marry your cousin unintentionally. Mm-hmm. If you want to marry them intentionally, I can't get in your business. All right. And so, Mr. New, that's a lot of family trees you're working on.
I have about 25 different Bahamian family trees that I have recorded someplace.
Absolutely. Okay. Awesome. So again, we say to people, first of all, if you're not a part of the HHT family, find your clan. Make sure you're all working on your family.
Start a Facebook group.
Right. That's a great way to start. For people who are a part of the family or think you're a part of the family, please You can email your information to HHT Reunion.
And if you're a Johnson, I see a text asked about a Johnson family from Ackland. Yeah. Check out the Corley family, because the Johnsons married into that, and they'll tell you how the Johnsons are related and their lineage. So you can check out that.
Okay, so the next Family Association meeting is March 20th, 2024. That's a Wednesday at St. John's College. The next event coming up...
6 p.m.
The next event coming up is the Walkathon and South South and Watch Erin Walk on Her Broke Foot.
Ah, Lord.
Listen, wouldn't you pay to watch me sweat, hustle, hop along? I'd pay to see that. And then, again, the family reunion coming up in August 1st to 5th of August 2024. Ms. T. Rohanna Sweeting?
Yes, Erin. Can I just say this? I'm you know, flipping through the family tree that's printed here that Nuri did, and I am very shocked to know there's a couple people on here who I know very well. They don't carry the Hannah Hasty or Dine's name.
Mm-hmm.
Who are family members, and I'm going to call them out.
Yes.
Keith Major Sr., his children, Kiara, and Keith Major Jr. I mean, I literally just saw Keith Jr. So they all from out of St. Barnabas too. So again,
wow.
I've grown up in St. Barnabas, all these things, and never ever knew or guessed. So Keith Major and Kiara, very wonderful persons. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so shocked to know that they are family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm inviting and encouraging all of our family members near and far to come out to this Back Together Again reunion. In the 242, we've not been together since 2018. We've missed a couple of years because of COVID, but this is our opportunity to come on back together again. So let's see you out August 1st through the 5th here in Nassau, the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
I just want to give a shout out to the Bohemian Genealogy Group on social media, Facebook, mm-hmm. That gives details about various families, the history of the names, and it helps with family trees. There's a family Bohemian DNA project also, mm-hmm. where they trace lineage of Bohemians, which is a Yahoo Facebook type group, where they go back to 16th century, various names, 16th century, and it can go detail as to who's who and how they came down from pirates and who's that. So I just want to give a shout out to those people too.
Right. See, when you know your lineage, your history, and how rich it is, you don't need to turn to other people's culture and history to entertain yourself, to learn about yourself, to develop self-confidence or collective family confidence. Right. It's all right. Everything you need, God has provided for you already. Right. And just last quote, just before we go, from the article Face to Face, a Family Bonded in History Where the Ties Stay Strong. This is a quote from Keva Hannah Lawrence. Pompey Bay was a quiet place growing up. It belonged to us, the Hasties, and it was just our family. My uncles Arnold and Herbert and their families living there, she said. I had a lot of love around me. My parents believed in education. We went to school and Mama never wanted us to die. Another quick story. She was a nurse. She believed, or her mummy believed that women should wait 2 years between births.
No.
And when she found a man who impregnated his wife within the 2 years, she petitioned for him to be arrested.
Really?
That's how important she felt it was that women had that time to rest their bodies. And you could understand it without the technological advances of today.
No.
HHT people, powerful people. Lucky to be a part of that clan.
Yeah.
Mr. Nuri, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Erin. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll have Anku Sarab, Dr. Cleveland Enius III, as we continue our journey with this African Christianity, right? We're going to go in detail and interrogate him on the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit exist in this African Christianity? What does the Holy Spirit mean? And is the Holy Spirit God? We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
But he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the call go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much for your patience with me, because I do have Dr. Cleveland Ineas III here, right, as we interrogate this African Christianity. And before I start, I wanted last week I asked about salvation inside the Coptic Church, and you mentioned atonement. This week, I want to ask, is there a difference between Jesus and Yeshua? All my life, I grew up inside a Christian church, a Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, when I know there was only Jesus mattered, because Jesus saved. He's the salvation. Of recent, especially with this black movement, this American, African-American black movement, there seems to be an issuance of a new Jesus, this new Jesus being Yeshua. I've never heard the term Yeshua in my life until recently, that Yeshua existed. Now, people are telling me that Yeshua and Jesus is the same. And I say, if Yeshua and Jesus was the same, why didn't they use it earlier? And then they were saying that Jesus was the Greek name for Yeshua. And then we learned that Jesus is not the Greek name for Yeshua. Jesus is not the Greek name for Yeshua, because there is exactly a terminology or a term. And they just created a name. And I'm trying to say, the theory or the thesis of this program for today is name important? I went to search for Peter, James, and John on all Anglo names, right? And to try to find out what was the Aramaic name for Peter, right? There exists an Aramaic name for Peter. But the Greeks decided that they're not going to use the Aramaic name, but Peter is the rock, right? Because whatever, how they interpret that, say Peter is the rock. And they changed the name Pitos or some sort, which means rock, and put that into the Bible. They didn't use Peter's name, Aramaic name at all. They used the rock for Peter and put that into the Bible. So I said, how many other names did they change? And if names are important, sometimes they say names evoke power. But if I'm not using the right name, surely the power has been diminished. So I'll start with that. Is Yeshua and Jesus the same thing? Because Yeshua has a narrative. It has there's a whole African narrative in different religions. They mention this Yeshua person. Right. There's historical documents about this Yeshua person where they've proven that this person existed. And I want to know, is Yeshua and Jesus the same person? And those historical documents that we are finding now, that these churches are now embracing, say, yes, these are the truths that people did not include. Is that the same Jesus now?
Well, first of all, good morning to all of the listeners. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Ineas III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. I am the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in Nassau, Bahamas. And we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Basesh, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. And I'm always happy to be here with my good cousin, C.A. Nuri. Very, very important question, this reality of names. We must remember, if we start in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about this prayer that the Messiah is giving to his disciples. And we know this prayer affectionately as the Our Father prayer. But at the very beginning of this prayer, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, for those who may be following with their Bibles, all right, it says that we should pray after this manner. After this manner, Matthew 6 and 9, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven. Then it says, hallowed be thy name. This idea of keeping a name hallowed or holy. All right. This reality of holiness is really just making it very clear that we have to keep things authentic if we intend to actually invoke that which we originally wanted to invoke. And so when you ask the question, is Jesus and Yahshua the same? No, the answer emphatically is no. Okay, number one, this word Yahshua is a word that ultimately they interpret it as meaning Savior. All right?
Wait. So Yahshua is a title?
It's a title.
So we're trying to say Yahshua is a... No, man. Yahshua can't be a title.
Yahshua is a title. And why we know that, too, is in the book of Matthew, when they talk about this Savior having the name Emmanuel, all right? But they never call him Emmanuel at any time in the King James Version of the Scripture. But this is going to tie into the question of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Truth later in the show. It's important to realize that in the Bible that we're holding today, that there are, in fact, three Jesuses, at least three Jesuses.
See, you're confusing me. Mm-hmm. The other day, you tried to tell me there's three Adams, right? Now you're telling me there's true Jesus. This black religion, this black Christianity thing? Go ahead.
So, who are these three Jesuses, all right? Outside of the original or the real or this African Messiah, Yahshua Christ, you have three outside of that. You have... Number one, J.C., Julius Caesar, who is best called Jesus Christos. So when you're saying Jesus, they're really referencing this Jesus Christos.
And that's just Latin mean for Jesus Christ.
This is really Jupiter Zeus. This is really talking about the gods of the Greco-Roman Olympians and Pantheons.
You're trying to say the Greek people who is worshiping the Greek gods, then change their Greek gods into a Christian religion when they adopt a Christian religion?
So what they were doing was repackaging the Roman Empire. They were repackaging this empire into a religious empire or a religious system whereby the same spirit forces, we're talking about family and family trees, these Greco-Romans have the world worshiping their families, have the world worshiping the heads of their families. How do we know this, C.A. Nuri? If we go to the book of Philippians, all right, and in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, it makes mention of this, all right? And you can read the whole chapter for context, but it says, all the saints, Philippians 4, 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So when they're talking about saints, and when they're talking about, and I'll read verse 21 to give it some context, right? They call this the final greetings within Philippians. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So what is this relationship between Jesus Christ, these saints that are of Caesar's household? The relationship is indeed the fact that these Greco-Romans were indeed putting forth their family's bloodline as that which should be worshipped. So this first Jesus, JC, Julius Caesar, that's Matthew 2:11, talks about that JC. All right. Then you have Simon Bar Jesus. Simon Bar Jesus, a sorcerer. They call him a magician. We talked about magicians, but 2 weeks ago, or magic, right? He was a sorcerer in Acts 13 and 6. Is this Simon Bar Jesus? But then, and then you have Jesus Justice, all right, also known as Cleophas in Colossians 4, 11. So those who were putting these scriptures together knew what they were doing, because this now confuses the innocent worshiper who simply wants to call on the Messiah, who simply wants to call on the Savior, who simply wants to live the way of this original Messiah.
This is a serious accusation.
Mm-hmm.
You are suggesting that somebody, some people, some bodies put together, construed a doctrine, purposely trying to manipulate the Bible and created a Jesus by mixing four or five different Jesuses into one story?
So, I mean, this is documented. It's not contrived. I'm not merely...
If it was documented, the Baptist people would have known. Mm-hmm. And since we Baptist people do not know this, what you are saying is, like, I would dare say, forgive me for it, it's blasphemous. I do not believe that there are one, two, three different Jesus that you all put into, what that somebody put into one document to say,
so let's look
the
at
world.
The Catholic Encyclopedia then. Okay? I'm pulling it up. All right? These gospel author, the authors, you say you was looking for Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, looking for their...
Those Anglo people. Yeah.
Right. So let's say with the Catholic Encyclopedia, this is the Farley edition, volume 6, pages 655 to 656. This is what they say. They say, an appreciation of the clerical mindset arises when the church itself admits that it does not know who wrote its gospels and epistles, confessing that 27 New Testament writings began life anonymously.
Wait, just say it all again. They do not know
they
who wrote.
They do not know who wrote its gospels and epistles. The same me, this is Catholic Encyclopedia.
What should we mean they don't know who wrote it?
It thus appears, they're quoting, that the present titles of the gospels are not traceable to the evangelists themselves. They.
You mean Peter didn't write Peter?
They, the New Testament collection, are supplied with titles which, however ancient, do not go back to the respective authors of those writings. They put their names down.
Let's pause. Because I ignore Peter, James, and John.
Sure.
But Paul, we know Paul just write letters. Mm-hmm. Surely Paul in the Bible write those things. Because we know he write it to the Corinthians.
Right. So he wrote those letters. He wrote those epistles.
Yes, good.
Yeah, he wrote those epistles. And if you look at the word epistle, the root of that word is piso. Because that was the Flavian dynasty, the family that was actually responsible for putting these letters together, whereby you have so much of the writings of Paul. You have more writings from Paul than Jesus. How'd that work? And we saying Jesus died for our sins, for the sake of this conversation, right? We're saying Jesus died for our sins. But we quoting Paul more than we quoting the person who died for our sins. That makes no sense. You understand?
Because
not that somebody who won't be saved.
I'm helping my child now study for religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Paul would stop on the road at Damascus. He got some kind of revelation. He got some kind of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just because the other disciples didn't get this light, this blinding light to give them some revelation.
No, the other disciples met the Messiah in flesh. Paul had a great story. Matter of fact, one of these days, we're going to look at them three, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. It's three different stories. Paul himself calls himself a liar. All right? If you go to the book of Romans, just quickly, because I don't want people
to talk about Paul like this.
That's fine. But I ain't talking about it. It's the
Paul
Bible.
Paul talking about himself like that.
But this is the Bible. See, we can't just want to, you know, pull from the Bible when it's convenient. All right? Romans chapter 3, verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? What lie? The lie that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had this great revelation. He never met the Messiah.
So who talked to him on the road to Damascus?
That's what we can talk about in the next show. We ain't going there today.
Write that down. Who Paul talked to on the road to Damascus?
We ain't talking about that today. That's a cliffhanger. All right? So let's go back to the original conversation, though. This idea of the name, okay? The name is, if you go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, names have always been very important because names ultimately are that which invoke, all right? You could be invoking that which is not assisting you while trying to do so. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So why was there such an emphasis placed on this good name? The word good isn't actually there, but they just say the name, right, in the actual language, right? This word name, Shem, they say through the idea of definite and conspicuous position, an appellation, a mark or a memorial of individuality, by implication, honor or authority. So a name can come with some type of authority. A name can come with some type of characterization. A name can come with an energy. So you can be calling on a name. When you say Jesus, Jupiter, Zeus, Jesus, you are calling on Jupiter. You're calling on Zeus. Jupiter and Zeus, and let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 35, all right, because they mention this in Scripture as well. This is Paul, and he's in Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 35, all right, it says, and when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? So what image fell down from Jupiter? See, you're not calling on the African Messiah when you say Jesus or Jesus. You're calling on the image that fell down from Jupiter. And this is those who the people of Ephesus, the Ephesians, they worshipped that particular image and they worshipped Diana. Saying me saying this.
Let me pause you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is church history important? See, I know that the Anglicans and the Catholics have church history. Mm-hmm. They can tell you, give you documents and detail about the origins of Christ, origins of history, mm-hmm. Give you a narrative about disciples and a history of Christianity and how it changed and how it grew over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But you find that Pentecostal religion don't worry about church history and say, man, forget it.
Right.
The origins of Christianity ain't important. Just know that we need to worship.
But that's called blind faith. That's called blind faith. That's having faith.
But shouldn't faith be blind? You just believe in God and thou shalt be saved.
Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Okay, Matthew chapter 15. And we want to go down into, let's see.
As you find in that mm-hmm. verse, Anku, there's a text here that says, it's interesting how Mr. Aeneas would read and believe some things from the Catholic documents to prove his narrative. I just want to respond to that while you're finding that text. Dr. Aeneas has a doctorate in critical theology, right? What Dr. Aeneas is doing is using various texts to prove his point. He's saying, I can use your own text. I don't need you to believe what I believe. Precisely. Or study what I study. I can use your text to have a conversation with you about these critical interrogations of Christianity.
Yeah, and that's important.
But should Christianity be interrogated?
It should, because Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Furthermore, in Matthew 15, verses 13 to 14, it says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, leave them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So when you ask me, is church history important? When you ask, is it important to ask questions? When you ask, should we be asking questions of the church? If the church doesn't want questions asked of it, then they just might be, I'm not casting aspersions on any church, but they just might be what Matthew 15 verse 14 is talking about, these blind leaders leading the blind. And these blind leaders are going to, both they and their followers are going to fall into a ditch. So I'm not the one saying this. To the texter, if I didn't read the Catholic or any other version of or understand religion through the eyes of others that I am choosing to critique, I think that would be very irresponsible of us, and it would be I will be our version of blind faith, because I would just be saying things without even having any real reference point. I have a reference point. I know why I want to be in the Holy Coptic Church, because I have done the research and I understand that what I have faith in has been confirmed. That's called true faith. Go ahead, brother.
The image of Jesus that I grew up with, the bright-skinned gentleman, the long flowing hair.
The image that fell from Jupiter. Right.
Right. All my life, I thought it was actual Jesus. That's just me, right? I said, man, Jesus was a bright skin. He was a light-skinned Jew. Like one of them light-skinned Jews, you know? And there, we have now finding out that Leonardo da Vinci, who painted the picture, got it from somewhere.
And that's somebody's good son.
That's somebody's good son. And that they that purposely crafted it. And I'm trying to go back to you and challenge you now. And I see that all the lines blinking right now. So if someone come to you, caller, right? That somebody purposefully crafted parts of our Christianity to say, okay, I'm going to put this inside it. I'm going to exclude this piece. I'm going to exclude that piece. And Aaron, I'm going to actually tell this to you. Recently, I asked on my social media page whether people left out things off the Bible. And a Christian fellow said, no, the Bible is complete because God did that. God wrote the Bible, and that those that was not included, God didn't want in it, the books, that is. And that, no, the Bible was not. And I said, what about that slave Bible? Didn't purpose people leave pieces out? But go back to you,
Uncle Sarah.
But they knew that they would take stuff out of the Bible, because they give a warning in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, where they say, and if any man shall take away from, this is Revelation 22:19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So they knew the potential was there for people to remove stuff. Otherwise, why put that warning in the book?
Let's go to the caller, Aaron. Do you think about that, Aaron? Because I want you to add on to this. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good, thank you.
This is a very intriguing topic that you guys raised, and I just want to know where the guest get his information from, his source.
Well, I'm quoting every source. I'm looking through the King James Version of the Bible, as well as the various encyclopedias of church history, as well as the various tablets. They call them non-biblical tablets that parallel Old Testament scriptures that are mentioned in the King James Version, the Zondervan King James Version Bible. They give a list of these ancient tablets. And so those are some of the sources that we are using.
Yeah, because I am really intrigued, because thinking back, and like the Bible says, you got to think yourself or study yourself to show yourself approved.
That's correct.
And all of that, you know, we have been historically growing up in a Catholic, Baptist, and Anglican society.
Yes.
And you just go to church, go to Sunday school, whatever the pastor teaches you, that's what you grow up knowing. But as you get older, your mind starts to question certain things and certain beliefs, and you read a lot of things. Intricately, like when the Anglican Church turned, was formed because the king wanted to get a divorce. You understand?
Yeah.
So various intricacies in all these religions. Have you thinking back and thinking to yourself if everything is accurate or if everything is just a plan or just set up? So I just like that. If you could give your email or something, like
sure,
to contact you.
Sure. So my number is 426-1148.
426-1148.
Yeah, 426-1148. That'll be the best way to get them. You can WhatsApp me, and then I'll be able. And then you can go to journeyhomegroup.com. Journeyhomegroup.com. Mm-hmm. That is our church's website, and from there, you know, we'll be able to guide you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you for calling. Right.
I have another caller there I want to engage with. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Newey and Ms. Green and Anku, of course, right?
Yes, sir. 52.
And so, you know, the thing is, I don't know everything Anku knows, but he knows what he knows some of the stuff I know. And so I read a Muslim-Christian dialogue decades ago. And so intuitively, right? You know, Aaron, you're very bright. You know, I'm so sick. I even actually dropped out of St. John's College chat group, which is an Anglican school, because of this brain stain that remained, right? The drain, right? Mm-hmm. Now, listen, man. Paul, the story about Paul on his way to Damascus and saw a bright light, and that's foolishness. And number two, I would never trust a guy to change his name. Came in to the Christian religion under the council, the first Christian council in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas represented the Gentiles. Peter and John represented the Jews, right? Which would be the real black people then. So Paul said, Paul is the one who said, where there's no sins, there's no transgression. I looked into his narratives. So what he was doing is he had a pitch to get more people in. So he tried to gain more popularity. And so just forget everything. Why is it that his books inundate the New Testament and the original disciples that walk with the king? Books are on the decline. They are less. They are lessened. He went to Europe, started a story about his religion, and he was killed. And so you really believe he arrived at the truth today? It's really simple, you know. I just can't. I mean, the text who tried to talk with Bear and Kunga is information from, he's very limited and doesn't even seek to really find out what the truth is. Sometimes you have to look beyond what you can read and see just facts in itself. Even as they said that the Israelites went into the wilderness for 40 years and they were lost. They were not lost in the wilderness, you know. They were afraid to confront the Canaanites that were in their land. And this is the story. And so when we search throughout history, we found that a lot of things to world history has been lost. And, you know, just keep it up, Anku. I don't know if you can put up with it because you can handle indifference very much so different from me. But the Negroes obviously are blindly religious. And so when you look at the Roman papacy, who was the only person on earth in transubstantiation, given the power to embellish and change the Bible? The Pope, man. That's blasphemous, man.
Thank you, 52. Quick text before we go to the next guest caller. Good day. Please tell your guest thank you for his insights and hard work. Please ask him to continue his work. My family has been Roman Catholic for over 1,600 years, and we encourage discussions of truth. Another texter said, today's topic is irrelevant. Religion itself should be a relic of the past. As an atheist, I find it amusing when otherwise intelligent adults can sit around arguing about who has the best fantasy. Sir, I don't think you made the point that you think you were making. I mean, I appreciate and respect the fact that you're an atheist, but let's be respectful when we talk about faith, right? We're not judging people here. We're not dismissing or judging faith. We're having a critical interrogation using texts from various bodies who say they are Christian and they are the only Christians, right? And we're comparing those to follow a conversation.
Right. I just wanted to say, too, just for clarity's sake, when people ask, well, where are you getting this information from? I have a teacher. I have a very, very good teacher. That Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma, he spends moonlit nights and sunlit days working to make sure that we, as the Holy Coptic Church, learn this information. So we have a guide. I'm not just picking up books and just grabbing quotes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? To be able to know the sequence of this information. I just want to put it on the table also.
It's more text, but let's go to the calls.
Okay. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good day. I'm Nuri, Aaron, and Uncle Surah.
Morning.
Good morning.
His name, the one that was painted by Da Vinci, his name was Cesare Borgia. And those who are interested, type in image of Cesare Borgia
Caesar Borgia.
And you'll see your white Jesus will pop up. He was the son of Pope Alexandria, I think between the border six of Italy in the 1400s, somewhere around there. And the Bible was this version of the Bible. The King James was orchestrated between King James, his scholars, and the Pope, Pope Alexander the Fourth or Sixth. But his son's name was he was painted. It was a contest between
by Da Vinci and Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo. And Da Vinci won that, and that is what they used to put in the Bible. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Let's go to this caller. I want you to go through all the text for me, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good, doing well, man.
Yeah, morning, and respect to your guest, Anku.
Hey, good morning.
I just want to ask him one or two quick questions, please. Is your date of birth important? I mean, that's one question I want to ask. And I heard CA ask about church history, but church history is biblical history. I mean, can you explain to CA that there's a difference between biblical history and actual history? Mm-hmm. And my last point was Genesis 49 talks about the last days when Jacob sat his sons down and he told them about the last days. And he told the two that stood out was Judah and Joseph. You know, Judah being king and Joseph seemed to be the sufferer who's going to be rejected, etc. Right? My question to you is, what should the people be looking for in the last time? I mean, in these last days as a savior, like what embodiment of Christ should they look for? Should they look for a conquering king? Should they look for a sufferer? Should they look, like what are the characteristics that they should be looking for so that they have a better idea of who the individual is? Because, you know, you have a lot of people around claiming that they're supposed to be this and that nowadays. So just to help the people out, like what are some of the things that they can use to better pinpoint who the individual might be, who can be the Christ or whatever, the anointed one who's supposed to come and give us some type of understanding? Thank you very much.
Sure, sure. So the first question is your birth date important? It is important insofar as the universe ultimately aligned and you were born. So we have within our ancient societies that which is called solar biology. And that solar biology, we'd have to do a whole show on solar biology. It is what our teachings are based on. And so it is important, but it's not astrology. It's not the horoscopes. That's not what we're talking about with regard to that. The second question, with regard to church history, what this society has skillfully done is created what they would term secular history. So when they talk about the lands within the continent of Africa, Egypt and Sudan and the various cities along the Nile River Valley, that is indeed the true church history. It's just not labeled as such. The Greeks and the Romans have their history of what church meant to them, and we respect that. However, that is not the only church history. We had Kanisa, or what today the Jews or the Israelis, in their political system, they have what's called the Knesset. The Knesset is their version of parliament. But that word Knesset comes from the African word Kanisa, or this house, or this Ka, the divine African spirit, and Nisa means woman. It is talking about this space where the feminine forces of nature will appoint, and this goes into your third question, will appoint a male from amongst this bloodline to bring forth the messages of the feminine forces of nature. That particular seed is of a melanin hue. That particular seed is described in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verses 12 through 15 as having skin of burnt brass, of woolly hair, a raspy voice. It is not saying that is how Jesus looked or the Yahshua looked, but more so they say one likened unto the Son of Man. So that particular seed has that particular characteristic, and that is, yes, indeed, those who are of the three groups of 12 royal tribes of Ishmael, Israel, and Midiani, that is who we should be looking for. And that's not to say everybody is going to look towards that image, because they don't. And rightfully so, because the Messiah came unto his own.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's another phone call, but here's some text. Text says, I'm not put out because somebody made Jesus look whiter than he was. Beyonce with the white, blonde, or platinum hair didn't upset me either. Ain't Vibes Cartel bleaches skin? At the end of the day, Beyonce still dance like Beyonce. Vibes still sing like Vibes. And Jesus,
vibes,
and Jesus still saves. Yeah. The skin color doesn't change the substance they bring. To me, it's a distraction from the real message. If I could respond, the previous caller, Johnson, he made the point. The image that you're looking at, it's not of Jesus with a different skin tone. It's of an entirely different person from an entirely different timeline. And that image was given to you for a specific purpose. And that was not to save you.
Yeah, because
to subjugate image people
ties,
of color.
Image ties into blood. Image ties into genes. So we're not merely, it's not a vain conversation as into who look bright and who look dark. It's more so talking about the genetics of the individual. The
genealogy.
Yeah. Let's go to the caller. Because our Lord had a chosen people. And I want to know if I am part of that chosen grouping. Because other people say they are part of it, and then we are the rejected stone.
Are you willing and obedient?
Right. And that text just responded and said, I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't reference that image when I pray either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon. Nuri?
Yes, it is Nuri.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
And to you, yes.
Good morning.
Yeah. So the topic is about Jesus and or the color of Christ. That's what you all are discussing.
The topic is Yeshua and Jesus. Are they the same person?
Okay. And you know something? I'm going to piggyback from what I think two previous callers had mentioned. I think we're really, just like the gentleman I think said earlier, we're missing the point of what salvation is all about. In today's world, people are talking about, or a lot of pastors are preaching about prosperity gospel and, you know, riches and enlarge my territory. And that is not the message that Jesus Christ, when he was upon this earth, that's not the message what he came, what he bought. You know, he says also to in Matthew, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Christ. And he said to preach it to every creature. Now, if you're a creature, you're a being that was created by God. So that means Chinese people are his creatures, black people are his creatures, white people are his creatures, Indians are his creatures, and then the point of what color Jesus was in genealogy. You know what? That's besides the point. I think getting your soul saved and making sure you keep his commandments, that should be the focus. When you get there, if you make it there, you'll see what color he is. I don't think knowing that his color is black or white or whatever, that is very important for you to get into glory.
Ma'am, then I ask you this. Who was Jesus talking to when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations?
He is talking, I think Matthew, is it chapter 28?
But, yeah, who was he talking
he's
to?
He's saying to, he was talking to his apostles at the time.
And who were his apostles at the time?
Yeah, so he's saying, and every believer, every disciples were persons who were followers of Christ.
And who were
followed
the followers?
Him.
Who
was so if followers? I was there at the time and was following him, he would have been talking to me.
But we know who was there at the time who was talking to. And we know that those people were from a specific grouping. I want to know who were they so I can understand what was the message.
Well, they were his apostles. What origin was his apostles?
Now you see my issue. Because we know the origin.
But if he's going to say in his message, preach the gospel to every creature. I just want to make this, stick a pin right there.
I won't respond to this. Before we leave the show, because we only got so much time. Because this is a misinterpreted verse in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Because how is it
misinterpreted? It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Well, what was one of the commandments? If you go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. He's talking to these same disciples that Nuri is asking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He sends his 12 apostles. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not. That was one of the commandments. So
okay,
we can't take, hold on,
question.
Hold on, let me just make this point. Mm-hmm. So we can't
I
just
have
take,
60 seconds.
We can't just take one verse and then ignore what was being commanded of the Messiah. It's not me saying it.
But then he also said Paul was an apostle called to preach to the Gentiles. Why did he call and say, I am Jesus Christ? He didn't say that. And he said, go into the way of the Gentile and preach the gospel to them.
I'm so glad
Jesus was a Gentile. He was saved. All his household was saved.
30 seconds.
And like he said, every creature, you're a creature, I'm a creature, every person.
You already made that point.
Thank you very much for your time. Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much.
This is why, Nuri, that show of what actually happened or what transpired on the road to Damascus is so important. Why would the Messiah tell Paul to go to the Gentiles after he told his disciples not to go there? So that can't be the same Messiah.
Anyway, we got to go because you're saying somebody lying.
Yeah, so there's an antichrist amidst this story. Someone is actually the Messiah and someone is the anti-Messiah. And we know that Paul never met the Messiah. Paul is actually saying he's a liar. He said, if his truth more abounds by his lie. Well, what lie did Paul have?
I like Paul, by the way. And you like a liar. I still like Paul.
And this is why Dr. Cleveland Enos III references scripture that is familiar to you, your version, King James. Because if he had said that only reading from the scriptures recognized by the Coptic Church, you would have called him a heretic. But he used your text for the purpose of the conversation.
I still like Paul. I just said, you know.
This ain't about who you like. This is about the truth.
Absolutely.
The truth will make us free. Not who you like.
Not your comfort.
Yeah. That's your salvation, the truth.
I just want to let everyone know, hell hot. Hell hot, ladies and gentlemen.
We in it right now, Hellenism.
Hot and imaginary.
Next week, we'll bring Ankur Sura again, Dr. Cleveland Enos III, and we'll interrogate Paul. I like Paul.
And a lovely question by a texter. How does Greek mythology and the Zodiac fit into what we know as his history of religion?
That's a great question.
Them said going to hell. Yeah. Anyway, have a wonderful day.